Hello, we're back again.
Hello, hello.
Back again. And we have a plan. Don't we have a plan? Tell them we have a plan.
We have a plan with notes.
We have a plan. We've got notes and everything.
There's been conversations about what we were going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it a meeting.
We had a meeting. We had an executive meeting.
We had a pre-show meeting.
We did.
Oh, that sounds and almost
I think
good.
Poke just banged his knee on the table.
That was my chair clicking.
Is that the new chair that's clicking?
Oh, it's so sexy, but I don't understand all the buttons.
Okay, that's the thing. I have what is... If you imagine an unfolded book into a... You know, if you took a book and opened it the wrong way, cover to cover,
mm-hmm.
that kind of 360 arc of
How do you open a book
the
wrong way?
For my chair. You just open it too much.
Okay, too much, okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, if you open a book so that the covers... A book's normally closed. If you open it the other way, all the way around, you get a nice big fan of pages, right?
Yes.
Have you ever read a book, Poke?
I'm an avid reader. I'll have you know. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but I don't mean on the Kindle and or one with too many pictures.
I do love my Kindle. It's very nice. I remember when I was younger having books. Right. I used to regularly open too far.
Well, there you go. Well, that fan is basically the controls on my chair, and I've never used anything but two switches.
Oh, I've got on the arm of my chair, four buttons. There's a lever. I've got detachable pillows. I leant back too far the other day and nearly fell off. There was a picture that came with it of a man with it laid all the way back and his feet on the floor and a little tick saying yes. And then it had a same picture, but he had his feet all up in the air and a little cross saying no. And I tell you, if you put your feet up in the air, you're going to fall off the back of this.
That's going to be a no. That's going to be a no.
That's a no.
There was a guy, what's his name? PewDiePie was famous for that, wasn't he? That was his promo video for the chair. That's exactly what he did.
Falling off
the chair. He would pull the lever and lean all the way back and not fall off the chair.
Because his feet were on the floor.
Well, I imagine he read the instruction that said that. Yeah.
I rebelled against the instructions.
It seems that you did.
It seems much more comfortable if I was going to put my feet on the desk. When your feet are on the desk down. And your head's on the floor.
When we record these podcasts, I lie down in my chair.
Oh, I'm all hunched. Over like
no relax
character
open
from Monkey
yourself
Island
to the conversation, my friend. Open yourself to the conversation.
I'm all crunched up.
Okay, well, you stay crunched up then. The only problem is I can't quite see the list from all the way over here.
Too far away.
And I certainly can't drink a cup of tea. I can't drink a cup of tea from down here. It's too much. It's all too much.
That's fine. This is what we planned to talk about. This was all the meeting was about chairs and leaning.
Yeah, this was what we had, chairs and leaning back.
You didn't say it was a good meeting.
It was productive.
It was a meeting
was chosen.
And that topic was,
you know,
chairs.
It was fine. Yeah, I think it was fine. It was a good meeting. I enjoyed the meeting more than I'm enjoying... No, I like the chair thing better.
It's because in the chair thing, there's a story about me falling on the floor. I get
Which
it.
Is funny, right?
I did not find it funny.
I mean, one of my favorite streamers on Twitch is Tim the Tapman. Did you ever see the video? It's in his intro where his chair broke live on stream.
No.
It literally collapsed beneath him.
Like under, like beneath him. He didn't fall. Like,
yeah.
Just, okay.
No, it just, the entire mechanism underneath the chair broke and he fell to the floor, rolled off to the side and shouted abuse at it.
That's weird.
It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. It really was. Big fan.
I like people falling off chairs. I'm constantly Googling people falling off chairs.
Hanging, don't they? That's why this Twitch fails is a thing.
Yeah, a bit slapstick, you know, is always good in the afternoon as well.
Of course it is, especially if it's not contrived. I'm kind of happy with that. I like a bit of comedy. Speaking of comedy, Comedy Poke. Yeah,
that's a thing.
They have announced the Lord of the Rings game.
How did you get to there from comedy?
I'm gonna tell
Matt,
you why.
I'm loving your segues.
I'll tell you why, because I've spent the entire day along with 90% of Twitter posting, you have my axe, you have my sword, you have my bow gifts in all the tweets.
And I very much considered saying something along with it, but I was like, nah.
Mate, you should have just dived on in. What an experience to be a fellowship, to be one of those people. I loved it. I was amazed at myself.
I'm not one
I was
of
like,
those
I'm getting
people,
in there. Well, be one with the crowd. You don't have to be a sheeple. It's lovely.
Did you say,
I enjoyed it.
Be one of the crowd. You don't have to be a sheep.
You can. I said a sheeple.
I know you said sheeple, but I didn't.
That's fair and reasonable. In all aspects, I understand.
I think that's the thing that defines us two as people.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm okay with it. I'll dive right in with my tin pie and my dreams. I'm quite happy with that.
And I'll stand here and judge, and it'll be fine.
Yeah, but I'll be in a fellowship going, and my axe.
I did laugh when I read that you wrote, and my axe.
Yeah, it's necessary. I then posted a gif on my own thread when I retweeted it, because sometimes I can't decide if I want to wade into the big boy thread or if I want to go ahead and make my own little thread.
You need to branch your own threads out occasionally. Be your own tree. You're fine.
Well, where do you stand on Twitter and using it? Do you use it a lot or just a little? Because I don't see a lot from you.
I don't. I was When I was working full time, I was using it constantly because I'd constantly be not working hard enough at the job that I had and being on my phone. So I'd have a thought and I'd type a thought. But now I feel like I'm constantly doing something and I neglect it. And it's something that I need to really focus myself onto. I enjoy Twitter a lot. I read a lot of Twitter. I just don't tweet out enough anymore. You tweet constantly and I love it.
I very much enjoy Twitter. I love the way it works. I think, excuse me, I think that Twitter is extremely powerful if you are very, very consistent with chopping out negative people. I think that's the trick to Twitter. If you've got someone that's posted two or three moans in a day or whines or complaints or something negative, I think you should just get rid of them straight away. And now that these unfollower apps and the like have gone away, you know, you don't have to worry about the follow unfollow crowd business that everybody rams down your throat, you know.
I agree.
You can just insert yourself into a conversation, you know, and I really like that. I really do. Twitter is one of the only social medias that brings a good return to what we do.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
In what way do you mean a good return?
I mean, you can convert people from your Twitter account to your Mixer account. They don't mind. They genuinely don't mind coming over. And the thing with the social medias, right? This is just my way of seeing it, having, obviously, I'm on all of them. Instagram, getting anybody to go anywhere else but Instagram is nigh on impossible because of the one link.
It's that click out culture. It's a very native platform. You need to have that click out. Instagram isn't a click-out platform.
Instagram is definitely not. You live in there. You live within Instagram.
Same as YouTube. I think YouTube is, on the whole, is a stay within.
I'd agree with that, yeah. Unless extreme value has been provided. Yeah. So if you take like Harris Heller, I was 3 or 4 videos in to his series before I went and was like, well, I'll go and look at the live stream.
That's a very specific type of content, correct? Because he's a tip YouTuber, so he'll give you tips on how to stream.
Yeah, an educational.
That's the word I'm for, educational. So he's teaching you how to be a good streamer, so, or at least how to be the technical side of streaming. So it's good to be able to jump into him. Whereas if
and see that in action,
but yeah. Someone who is a entertainment streamer or an entertainment YouTube creator, then would you be so inclined to jump over to their stream if they were streaming live? I probably wouldn't.
No, but that's what I mean about the value proposition. And whilst entertainment does provide value, I only need it as a fix there and then. Whereas somebody who's giving you tips and advice, I like to go and see what they're doing live so that I can absorb that information is what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know? Like a validation technique, I suppose.
And there are those, no question. We see it on Mix all the time when a YouTuber streams, you see their channel will spike massively, and they may only do one stream a month, but that one stream may have 20,000 people in it. So there are people who come over, but
it will convert. Yeah, it will convert.
Different disciplines though. That's all it is.
Twitter is middle of the road. If the piece of content is enticing enough, you can get people to click off. But most Twitter is viewed on the mobile.
Yeah.
As it is with Instagram. But again, this seems to be the thing. And I personally don't really like going off platform on mobile because it's clunky, yeah. Right? It's a really clunky system. So I don't generally like doing it. The exception to all of this, of course, is Facebook.
I don't use Facebook.
Which
exclusively don't use it.
Well, I have a business page for Facebook to reserve the name. And I just use it as a cross-pollination. So my tweets go there. My Instagram goes there.
Maybe that's why.
All that stuff goes on to Facebook. But getting someone to click off Facebook, my wife, take for example my wife, she will happily go to a WordPress article or a Daily Mail article or something to get some sort of gossip crap. You know, she'll happily click off platform to go to that. Whereas I don't think there's another social media that does that at all.
No.
Think, you know, it doesn't seem to be the way. But also the demographic that we look for, i.e. gamers, don't tend to be on anything but Twitter. It seems to be the way, maybe Instagram, but Twitter's the primary, right?
It seems to be the gaming social media, yeah.
Yeah, it seems to be the trick. So that converts kind of well. But I love with Twitter how you can just insert yourself into a conversation. So you can get in on, you know, you see the Lord of the Rings announcement and there's two lines of conversation there. You've got the people that are like myself that are like, oh my God, I'm all in. It's a fantasy MMO. I love getting my claws into that. I'm ready. You know, I'm genuinely excited about this. Let's go. And then you see the other thread, which is that it's going to be a free-to-play game.
Have they announced if it's going to be free-to-play?
They've said it's going to be free-to-play.
Oh. Yeah. See, but free-to-plays have changed a lot recently in the last year.
How so?
It's headed much more towards microtransactions. Whereas
yeah, very much
that's,
so.
That's the key to them. But in my, and I'm probably wrong, to be fair, but the way I've always looked at them, because I never really played free to play like years ago, but they seem to be wait 20 minutes for this to, so say you've got a a farm or whatever, wait 20 minutes or buy a diamond to get the farm to do now. Whereas now free to play seems to be grind for an item or buy a loot box. And that's what I mean by change. Whereas before it was more just you had to either wait or buy. And now it seems to be play for 200 hours in a very, it's not free to play, but very Rainbow Six-y type of way. I can play forever or buy it.
The best thing, so there's two schools of thought on it, as I understand it, for folks who haven't come across. There is free to play and there is pay to win. Pay to win is when you can buy an advantage for real money within the game. Free to play usually comes in cosmetics or short-term boosts. So it targets two markets. The short-term boost idea covers two markets. You have cash rich, time poor, which is people that work 40 Fair hours enough. A week, don't have time to grind for a job. Yeah, adults with kids' responsibilities. They have some free money. They can put it towards the game to buy things off the players who have plenty of time but no money. Two great examples of that are EVE Online,
yep.
where you can buy in-game currency that is farmed by players with the time, and Warframe. Warframe probably being the best free-to-play model I've ever come across in a game, ever.
Why it's so popular.
And because exactly why it's so popular. You don't need to spend a penny on the game if you don't want to, yet you will feel inclined to spend some. But you never feel, it's not like a loot box, what do they call it? Surprise mechanics idea where you're gambling your money. You don't gamble anything. You buy exactly what you want.
You know, this, you know, you're not going to like this.
That's how it works.
You're not going to like this. Oh, no, dear. Because I can already see the conversation going and you being like, oh, shut up already. Right, Fortnite, free to play. It's got no loot box system. You can buy money to buy cosmetic skins. Exactly how you just described. Yeah. Warframe.
It's the Warframe. Fortnite is the Warframe system. Pretty much exactly. The only difference being Warframe has time gates and Fortnite doesn't.
You mean time gates?
So Fortnite, well, I Fortnite uses... you clearly don't play Warframe, but that's fine. I have some 300 hours in it, sadly, to my shame. Fortnite uses the promise of returning loot. So it cycles through, and you might get, you know, a limited time, limited offer, which is the... I think it's actually called a limited time proposition. In marketing, I'm pretty sure that's what they call it, where I must have it because it goes away in 8 hours and I might not see it again for 6-7 months, you know, and every time they introduce a new piece of loot to the system, that timer goes up, thus increasing the need for other skins, you know, for other popular mm-hmm. things. That's Fortnite's key mechanic is exactly that. I must have it because it goes away soon. The time gate is exactly as you described. You try and build something in Warframe at the forge, it's going to take 12 hours. Or you can buy an item which will speed it up and make it 2 minutes. That's a time gate.
Yeah.
So for your working man, he doesn't care. He'll wait 12 hours because he'll just put the thing in before he goes to bed and then pick it up tomorrow when he gets to play another couple of hours. But for your other guys, what they'll do is sell off in-game items to get money that they can then use to buy those boosts to get further ahead. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, my concern with, I guess there's lean tools out because there's so much bad press on loot boxes and stuff. But my concern is that...
Surprise mechanics.
Yeah, these loot boxes, these systems, obviously I'm not a fan. No one's a fan. But it plays into, especially with games that are aimed at kids, it aims into that part of your brain where it's just gambling. It's you're paying money to get something
I agree.
You might win, you might not win.
For a chance on something.
Yeah, it's... The trouble is you're a grown up, relatively speaking. You can say, right, this is going to cost me money. I shouldn't do this. I can control that impulse. Someone who's 10, 12, 14 hasn't grown that part of their brain that says, no, don't do it.
That's my issue where it could happen. That also comes into I think the sneakiest part about it is not that the money needs to change hands. It's that you need to convert the money into something which in your brain has no value.
Yes.
So you buy V-Bucks. You spend V-Bucks.
Because V-Bucks aren't money.
On boxes. They're not money, are they? They're not real money. It's just fake money.
2,000, you don't... And I don't know if you do the same thing that I do, but 2,000 V-Bucks buys you whatever it is. But when I look, I immediately convert that back to money and go, well, that cost me £20. I'm not spending £20 on looking like John
Wick.
That's
exactly it.
But a kid doesn't do that.
But if you're a kid doesn't know that. Yeah, a kid doesn't know that. And that's that. I would say that isn't...
That manipulation is right.
They shouldn't be allowed to do that. They should, in my opinion, I don't know if it's obviously not regulated per se. They're just trying to decide if it's going under the gambling laws or not. But I think that if you're going to spend some V-Bucks, at the bottom of the screen, it should tell you what those V-Bucks are in real money as well.
Or just not be allowed to call it V-Bucks. Yeah, but you might, that negates the whole point of calling it that. So you just say this is $12.99 or this is £20 or whatever.
Yeah, well, that works too. Mm. You know, as long as something like that goes on. And all these systems should be locked to a mobile phone or locked to some sort of secondary authentication system. I mean, there's not even a confirmation dialogue in most games. You know, you click it and it's yours and it's bought and that's it. And that's your V-Bucks. Gone, you know. I know I'm targeting Fortnite.
No, because it's the front runner in this style. It doesn't have loot boxes. And if you think about the one that's probably the front runner of that, I would say probably Overwatch would be one of the strongest contenders
on
that.
Overwatch is big on it.
And FIFA. I think the Ultimate Team stuff is all that.
FIFA with these packs?
The ultimate packs are the same system.
I kind of know about
that. It's the same as you've got kids, blind bags. I don't know how they're legal. How's that legal? Like you're buying something, you don't know what it is.
that just blows my mind
that grown ups buy that for their kids. But I've done it for my nephew. I've gone out and bought them. So
it's how it is, mate. I mean, you can buy 20 packs of these trading cards, Pokemon trading cards, football trading cards, and end up with everything that you've already got.
I saw, but then you got doubles to trade with your friends. I saw Fortnite Panini stickers in the store.
I saw the Fortnite sticker annual. Because I don't know, did you ever see that article about the maths on the Merlin, are they Merlin books?
Isn't it something like £3,000 or something silly to get?
To complete with shinies was in the 3,000 region, yeah. And to complete with normals, you would have to spend a minimum of £308 per annual to complete it. And that was to fill it with stickers, just the normal stickers, not shinies, not high collectibles.
At the end of the World Cup or the end of the football season, you just throw it away.
Just goes away.
Start again the next year.
You know what I mean? I worry with games like Lord of the Rings, you're bringing out a big IP. It means a lot to a lot of people. And you can't help but feel that they're going to capitalize really, really heavily.
Would you say Lord of the Rings is an older IP though? Or an IP aimed at older and adults?
I think it falls into the 20-30 demographic around our age. Yeah. Because we're, you know, it's popular with us.
It's our money. We should know what to do with it. Hopefully that'll be all right.
Well, as long as it falls into the model of it's cosmetic only.
I think that's going to be worse for you. Because I was going to call him Aragog just on purpose, just to trigger you.
Wow. Yeah, good. No, that's a different
person. That's a spider in Harry Potter, I believe.
It is, yeah.
But if Aragorn comes up and it's £30, then you'll spend £30. I don't know if that's any better. I don't know. On a money grab side of it, I don't know if it's any better.
Well, we'll have to find out. There was a game that came out, an MMO called Neverwinter. Did you ever come across it? I don't know if MMOs were your thing.
That's a Baldur's Gate type.
Okay, so yeah.
I never played it, but I saw it.
There is a game called Neverwinter Night, which is based in the D&D universe, which came after Baldur's Gate. There's also Icewind Dale, which is the same idea. So it's the same D&D universe, but this was full MMO. Think World of Warcraft, but free.
Okay.
Now, in that game, whilst you were in it, you could do things like click adverts to go out and see for points and things like that. And that was how paid to win, right?
I like that.
So that was, if you didn't have money, you could watch a video and earn some of the premium currency and so on and so forth. And that was kind of a good model. I don't know if the game survived. As far as I know, it kind of still worked. But games as a service, as they seem to be calling it, I really like the idea of. So like Destiny, I can buy an annual pass. And for that annual pass, I expect a certain amount of content and it not to be cosmetic.
Yep? Everyone is so angry about the way Destiny gouged people in the common way that it's presented to me, gouge people for every single time a DLC came out. So you're saying that's better, but it's just everyone bolts against it.
No, I'm not saying it's better. I'm not saying it's better. I like the idea of a season pass for promised content. I think that's a good way of doing it. And I don't mind paying a little bit more for that. But then if you come out and tell me I need to buy this expansion for cash and this expansion for cash and this expansion for cash, beneath that, that's when it gets a little bit annoying for me. I'm like, I don't want to be double dipped for content.
Well, hopefully they're coming away from that. But yeah, as a rule, that's
so they're saying. But there are plenty of games that do that exact model. And one of the things that's always scary in a big scale game, which is what Lord of the Rings must be, right?
It's gonna fail if it's not huge, but it's got a lot of pedigree to the developers
scale and plenty of lore. I mean, EverQuest was bay for me, so old school developers working on that is amazing for me, you know, because it's EverQuest and some of the World of Warcraft classic devs, isn't it?
And I think it's some of the people who worked on Destiny, really.
Well, there you go. So that's a big pedigree of storytelling, level building, character,
as long as the lore is built into the game in opposed to additional cards or websites you need to go to learn about the characters. And that was
assumed knowledge doesn't work well, in my opinion, for games. Not if you're trying to it, But it depends who they're trying to market. If they're trying to target hardcore fans,
well, I guess with Lord of the Rings, at least it's everyone who's going to play it knows about it. They know the character. They've at least watched the movies if they've not read the book. So
I would say
the vast majority of people will know each character. They might not even know the human guy's name, but they'll know the human guy. And they'll know the little guys. They might not know their hobbits, but they'll know the little guys. So they're not going to have the same problem as starting from scratch.
No, I hope they do it well. I mean, there's no details yet, right? The details are it's in production from Amazon Game Studios, which is their first IP, I think. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's Amazon Game Studios' first IP. I don't know of anything else. I didn't research it. Google
itself. We don't research stuff. We talk. Sometimes we don't even have a pre-meeting.
We don't, but we did today.
My only concern with MMOs, especially when they're like strongly linked to an IP like this, is that in my head, I want to be one of the main people. I don't want to be Hobbit number 74. I know I'm not going to have to stay in the Shire and sweep, but I don't want to be random Hobbit that goes around. And that's what it's going to have to be. You're just going to choose Hobbit as a class.
So you'd rather play a key character? Yeah,
I don't know if I'd buy in, but that's a personal thing. I don't think I'd buy in if I wasn't going to be a big guy.
I grew up, I really liked Warhammer Fantasy growing up. And Warhammer Fantasy got an MMO called Warhammer Online Age of Reckoning. I don't know if you came across it, but it was... Nope. I loved it, right? I really loved it. It was the first game I ever played that had full open world PvP. It was very story rich, in my opinion, and the characters they'd brought to life, they'd done a really good job. But Warhammer games have a history of failing.
Somewhat.
So it ultimately closed down, which was a shame. But what they did was, as you were working through the game and the story, they would introduce the characters that you knew as part of your quest givers or part of your story.
Oh, a little bit like how Telltale Games did Game of Thrones.
Is that what they did?
You never played as a main character, but the main characters would come in and interfere with the story. They'd feature.
Well, I really like that. I think that's a really clever way of introducing it, because then you feel like you're part of the world and you get to be immersed in it, but you're not changing the story.
Yeah.
You know?
Now that you've put it that way, then I can see that potentially working out for me.
I would like it that way. Because I remember with that game, right? I've read every Gotrek and Felix book that came out, okay? So it's about a man and a dwarf. The dwarf has a massive orange Mohican. He's a slayer. And the human is a poet that turns into a sword fighter. And they have a very specific look in the books.
What was he called?
Gotrek and Felix.
Okay.
And I remember walking through a market in that game and seeing them walking through the market on the other side of the stall. And it was such a clever thing they did, because you couldn't get to them, but you knew who it was just walking through, you know. And there was an audio piece that went with it, and so
it'll be like seeing a celebrity walking through London. You're not allowed to go and lick them, but you can see him.
But you really want to. You really want to. You're lick a tongue in that bad boy. And then about 2 months later, in a separate event, they came back and they were quest givers, and you could go and talk to them and be part of it all. And I thought that was a really clever way of immersing you in an MMO. And I hope they do the same with this Lord of the Rings one.
Yeah, I think they've got to do that. Otherwise, it becomes too superficial. And then you might as well be literally playing any generic world.
It's just an
MMO
then. It's just a fantasy MMO. You know, I mean, they've got to do good things with it, but... I'm looking forward to more details as it comes forward. That's what I want now. I just like, right, give me details, show me a reveal, show me a trailer, let me know what I'm in for, and I'll do the rest. Don't
definitely
worry.
one to look out for. It's definitely one to sort of track, especially it being Amazon and it being early on, if not their first IP, because they're going to want to smash that.
They're going to want to make an impact.
They're going to want to come out with this is going to be something they can run for years.
And they're coming in with Scrooge McDuck money. Well, so they can, you know, they can do a good job.
Very few companies are going to be able to come in as hot as they are off the bat. Yeah.
I think it'll be good. I mean, they also, there's the side benefit of they'll be able to promote on Twitch, you know, very excessively, because it's native platform to them.
Yeah, you would expect them to take advantage of that very well.
I'd be disappointed if they didn't. I wish more companies did things like that with content creators.
Yeah.
You know, I wish they took advantage to a level, you know, not taking the mic, but coming to you and saying, look, we'd like you to stream this for 2 hours, you get a free copy of the game, or some, that's not what I mean, but, you know, some sort of incentivized deal to get a lot of people playing it, get a lot of coverage.
Well, you'd think, being that it's Amazon and Amazon owning Twitch, it's not too much of a stretch to say, hey, Ninja, can you come to the studio and do a presentation for an hour? Yeah. You can't.
Would you mind not seeing that?
Being a thing they'll consider. Well, not necessarily him, but
one of the things I remember from Destiny 2, I think it was, or Anthem, one or the other, was that they were advertising on bus stops and on the sides of buses. You know, an archaic
Who
method
does that anymore
in our world.
That's the reason why I've watched a couple of shows recently I've seen them on buses. Netflix tend to advertise on buses here.
I understand it for a TV show, and I think it's great because you don't know that you're not interested in that TV show.
But the games are the same. The
games.
Games should be the same.
You think so? I don't think they work that way.
Yes, I do. I don't know. I think the trouble is you're so, because you're...
I live in a digital world.
I don't
want
to say you're in the industry, because it's you're peripherally in the industry, but you're so close to it that you're paying attention to Twitter's gaming sections, and you follow developers and you read the websites and you pay attention professionally. So you know a game's being released as soon as they announce it, but not everyone necessarily is that.
I think, well, that would be the only exception. That would be the only time I think that's a good idea, is if they were just advertising a release date. If it was a release date poster, I can see that being useful.
What were they advertising on bus stops?
It was literally just a thing that was like Destiny 2. It was to promote
the
game. Are
you sure it wasn't for a DLC push, or like when The Forsaken came out, or because there was a lot of TV adverts.
I don't
remember with the puppies and all that nonsense. So yeah, it was probably around that time, right?
Traditional media like that isn't, it makes you feel a bit more included in the game and a bit more mainstream. But I don't think it brings in any new gamers, because like my I don't know, you know, someone like my dad would look at that and probably have a drink. But you know, my point being, my father-in-law, let's take him, he would look at that and he doesn't know what it is, so he just disregards. You know, unless you know what it is already, it serves very little purpose, right? You don't think so?
I guess what you're saying. I can see what you're saying.
It just, digital advertising strikes me as better, as long as it's not one of these ones on a website that won't get off my mouse clicker wherever I'm moving it to, because my God, they drive me.
Won't get off your mouse clicker? What websites are you going on that's tracking your mouse clicker?
Well, you know these new ones that you go on that say, disable your ad block or pay us money? Have you seen these
ones? Oh, the ones that say, I don't ad block, so I don't see that. But I do see, do you consent to cookies? Yes, I'd like to continue, or no, close the website. Obviously, I'm going to click yes.
Yeah, can we spy on you or not?
I've clicked on here for a reason. You can watch what I do for the next few days. Well, I want to read your article.
But then you'll get like, you get two pieces of text and then an advert, and then two pieces of text and then an advert.
Oh, it's horrific.
Yeah, but I think that it's just getting too much. If you want me to disable my ad blockers, sure, but calm down with your adverts, because I'm not eating all those.
I saw you tweet about this. This was about 3 days ago you tweeted about this. You've still sat on this and it's still bubbling.
I'm still angry. I was ready. I had it written at the top of my pad. I was like, I am mentioning that in my little podcast with Pope.
There's a couple that I've read recently on. I've looked for something. I was looking for something. I was stuck on somewhere for Destiny, I think it was. And I was on the stream, so I quickly typed it in. And I didn't really look at the sites I was going to. I just typed in, how do I find whatever it was? I clicked on it. And the website literally said, you should look at Google. It's like, it had the title of, this is how you should find it. And it was, you should type this into Google. Wow. I was like, that's what?
And you've eaten 60 cookies for that.
I've munched down on a whole carton of cookies. Yeah. But, oh well, what can you do?
That's the thing. It's part of life. But this all ties in again to the free-to-play model. How are they
free
going
to read that
really
website?
Want the details.
So you have to deal with it. Yeah. That's how they pay for the people who make the website.
Yeah.
And I get that.
But how, you know, it's just a lot. It's a lot. It's like a lot. I don't want it for free. I just want it to calm down.
I take a softer view on it than you do. I take this is what's paying for it. It's a difference. We don't have it on Mixer yet, but on Twitch,
we will have it.
You know where I'm going with this. Is that if you go onto a partner website, a partner channel on Twitch, they can run an ad. One ad at the beginning, maybe one ad after an hour and a half or 2 hours. That's fine. But this is the same as running an ad every 15 minutes. That's what you're talking about.
It really is. It's just too much. Yeah, it's too much. Or the ones that track when you... you see them more on mobile when you're scrolling down, and they seem to stick in the middle of your screen as you're scrolling. Mm-hmm. You know these? Have you seen these?
I see these on Twitter all the time, and I've convinced myself that it's people have made videos that they know roughly what the scroll down speed is. So they record a video with a that pans up at a similar speed. I've convinced my head.
That could be fair.
That's what happens. Because that's genius. And if they're not doing it, I am genius. One of those, either they're genius or I'm genius. One of us is genius.
Somebody here is a genius.
I want it to be me, because I still worked out that's what they're doing. And I'm still going to at some point make a video tracking up and be like, yeah, that was a lot of work. I'm not doing that again. I'm going to do one at some point, because genius. Could well be that.
Could be. But yeah, the point here being is, as long as something isn't aggressively monetized, free to play or otherwise, I'm okay with it. I don't really like loot boxes in games. I don't really like them at all. I think they're unnecessary. I personally would prefer a system where you can gather some sort of coinage for the sake of a yep. better word, that you can then buy directly the item that right. you want.
So, not so like playing, crystals in Apex. Playing devil's advocate, because someone has to, do you not necessarily see that, say, and I use Overwatch because it's so obviously what they do. They use their loot box system, which you can then buy the coins to buy the loot boxes. The mm-hmm. money that they're making from the loot boxes means that they can consistently update that game. And if you opt out of the loot box system, you're getting a free upgrade. It's the same as Grand Theft Auto has shark cards and all of that nonsense. I don't buy those, but that money that's being pumped in by people is giving me 3 years, 5 years, 10 years of free updates.
Sure, but this comes back to the cash rich time poor argument again. You need people in your game to keep it popular, to keep people even playing mm-hmm. it. That needs to be a fact. So say I play the game for 40 hours a week and I don't invest anything into the game. I'm still making it popular for people that come in, want to catch up my progress and do have the money to spend. So they will spend the money to catch the progress.
Yeah. Someone yeah. said to you, look, it costs you £10 and we'll give you maximum light in or power that it is now in Destiny.
Done.
I'd have paid the tenner. And the grind to, and I'm still not even there. The grind to get there has been
But there are some people that still enjoy it. You know what I mean? They enjoy the grind. They enjoy the thing. They want to spend the time. You know, granted that it's normally people that don't have a great amount of responsibility by design or other. People that have found themselves unemployed or people that haven't yet had kids, you know, they have a bit of free space.
There's that period that you go through. Everyone does.
Of course there is. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not meaning that. I don't mean that offensively to anyone who's listening at all. That's not what I mean.
For the lazy people, but that the lazy, tends to be how it is. Unwashed, unworking. You just alienated the whole of the North. No, shit. I just alienated the whole of the North.
No, I alienated the whole of the... The North won't listen to you That's anyway.
True. I'd already lost them anyway.
Yeah, they don't listen to you. They listen to me. They're like, yeah, he's got a good point in there. He's got a dead good point there, listening to this Southern chap. He don't know what he's talking about. But that'll be fine. Speaking of time spent, actually, that switches beautifully into our next topic, because we've just taken a long time covering those little bits.
Yeah. That took longer than I thought.
There were some figures that I came across on a BBC article that was ultimately about Ninja, but wasn't really the point.
I think they used the Ninja article. As a
they
clickbait.
Used Ninja as a clickbait. Yeah.
Clickbait.
Yeah. But it was talking about the amount of hours that the top streamers, the popular streamers on Twitch, actually stream. How much they actually stream.
Yeah.
And it has here some numbers, which I guess they've validated because they look like they've been validated. Shroud,
they ring true.
In the first, they do. They look as accurate as I believe them. So Shroud streamed for 86 hours and 3 minutes playing Apex Legend primarily. 86 hours and 3 minutes.
I mean, he ran over the three minutes. That 3 minutes is only there because whoever wrote that wanted you to think, wow, it's 3 minutes. He must really have looked this up.
Yeah,
that's Somebody's not a number he number, pulled
86
out.
86 isn't a pleasing number. Then we've got Summit1G, who streamed Apex Legends for 54 hours and 25 minutes. Tofu, the great Fortnite streamer, of course, that's currently been caught up in his contract argument, chalked up 57 hours and 38 minutes for Fortnite.
Yeah, mid-50s and then they go to on be to the point. Average.
I think 50 to 60, yeah. 50 to 60 seems to be how much you have to work at streaming to not work 40 hours for someone else.
Yeah. You have to do 60 hours to not work for a living because, you know, you're just playing video games.
Work 40, yeah. Just playing video games, bro. And I mean, that's a hell of an amount of hours.
But you're not full-time. So the way I look at yours is to sort of prorata it towards the fact that you have to do other things as well.
So you're probably
in that ballpark if you prorate it out. I know that I tend to stream 6 days a week, 10 hours a day. That doesn't seem unlike me. Sometimes we go over that. So probably between 55 and 65 hours I tend to do. And that's, it'd be the same with them. That's not including any sort of connecting with other people who are in the industry or working on your overlays or working on anything in the background. That's purely on camera time. That's the same with these guys. So it does sound about right. Industry standard.
Yeah, I think 60 is fair for industry standard for what we do. And even the guys in the, you know, the gaming industry, the guys, the devs that are building it, even them ticking into the, like, it came into light recently about crunch times and, you know, incredibly malicious, I suppose, working practices.
Toxic working practices, I guess, more.
Well, go on, you have more knowledge about this than me, so.
Well, I've been,
what do you reckon?
I think that the difference is because when it looks at the crunch time that they were talking about when it was widely reported by the different people that were being pushed into crunch, Rockstar pushing them and Bethesda and people like that, 70 hours was being touted as that we were crunching. We were doing 70 hours a week. We were doing six days a week, 12 hours a day, or we were doing 7 days a week and we were encouraged to work weekends. And that's very, very similar to what we do. So on the surface of it, it's a very, well, that's what you do when you want to succeed at something that you're passionate about. The difference between them and us is that we choose to do this. We choose to put 70 hours in. And I think that as a whole, we are compensated for doing it. And we might not get paid as well as they do. Different streamers obviously getting different amounts of money, but you're what you get out what you put in streaming. I don't know if they're necessarily getting their payouts at the end. I know the people at the top definitely are, but whether the devs are, whether the quality testers and those that are really being pushed, especially towards the end of a development cycle, whether they are.
You think that's why we've been getting so many subpar games? Like,
I think that
just not triggered and demotivated.
I think that's the problem, and that's a burnout issue. And there's especially with streaming, especially with content creation on our side, is that we're always warned by our peers about the people around us. You should always take days off. Make sure you look after your health. If you don't, you're going to burn out. Your quality is going to go down. You're not going to be entertaining. You're going to be grumpy. You're going to be bad. And you see that with streamers that are pushing too hard. And that is exactly the same as what's going to be happening with games. And Anthem's a really good example of that. That was hard on the crunch and that wasn't well received.
It didn't come out finished, did it? It just didn't come out finished.
It does seem like that was heavily pushed to get it out, to hit that deadline. And yeah, that deadline was obviously too close.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it came out like everything was there. It came out like an empty box or an empty doll's house with all the furniture in it, but none of the dolls.
Are you
dolls.
Not finding that's a bit that's of a trend with games as well? If you look as far as things like Sea of Thieves has, I see Sea of Thieves and Anthem and No Man's Sky as very, very similar. They were released. They were really, really hyped, like overly, overly hyped. You were presented with a world, but not really a lot to do within it. And then Sea of Thieves over the last year has added so much into it that it now feels like a full game. No Man's Sky is very popular now because it feels like there's lots to do and there's a world to actually work in. In a year's time, Anthem will probably feel like the same way.
But I wonder...
Maybe it's a strategy.
I think it is. I think it is. I think it's a play because they can put out a game, they can overhype a game, they can release it unfinished, so do the whole, well, we've got a roadmap, which is effectively throwing your dead fish heads, and then work on the game, having pleased stock shareholders, who I assume are the ones that are problematic in this regard. They can appease them and get the initial sales, and then use that money as a push to carry on development.
Quite possibly.
That's how it looks to me.
You also get that initial boost of money, I would have thought, from the beginning, and then it goes quiet, and then in a year's time, when it's has its anniversary release, update or new DLC or whatever it is. And it's usually a rebranded type thing, like with Sea of Thieves had the anniversary update. Yep. Yeah, you can see that there'd be another big push. Destiny is just about to do the same thing. They're going to not rebrand completely, but they're now basically calling it Shadowkeep. That seems to be... So now it's a new game again. So everyone's going to go and play it. And so more people go and buy it. So it's from a marketing point of view, from a business point of view, can you blame them?
No, no, I can't. I can't. I understand it.
I hate it. I think it's terrible. I think because it's not given enough consideration to the end user.
We expect more from our games, right? We expect much more from games now. So there are much longer development time or processing time. I mean, you could take, if everybody took the CG Projekt Red idea and just went, well, it'll be out when it's out, sit on your laurels and wait.
Yeah.
You know, which, by the way, I love. I want to preface this with that. They haven't released a game that I haven't enjoyed. They do so well. You know, The Witcher was incredible. A series coming to Netflix for that, which we'll circle back to. You know, they released The Witcher. They've released these wonderful, brilliant, narrative, massive, deep games, which are right up my street. That's my kind of game. I love that kind of stuff. But I don't think all devs can do it. I think there's too much pressure and too much constraint.
I think if it's the right kind of game, you can. Project Red.
I don't want things like celebrity. I don't want celebrity voiceovers. I don't care for them.
I care.
It doesn't matter.
They matter.
Well,
to me.
Maybe one or two, but.
But if you look at the trouble is, if you look at games like you just said, obviously Project Red. If you look at games like Animal Crossing that apparently got pushed back to the next year because it didn't want to go through crunch, those sort of games can survive because people want Animal Crossing and they will wait. But if you've got an IP so Anthem, for example, you've got Anthem and you know it's not ready and you can crunch to get it somewhere near ready and then get it out, or you can make people wait a year. But in that year, Destiny might pull itself together and become the number one game because they're in the same user base, I would have thought. What happens if you miss the boat on them? What happens if you've got a BR and you're not ready, but you crunch it to get it out now, or you wait 6 months, and in 6 months the BR bubble bursts? That's then the fear. And the way to fix this is by not buying broken games, not buying games that are based off a crunch, and the consumer, us, you, me, everyone playing video games, then using their moral, ethical line and saying, well, I'm not going to play this game because their practices are bad. And no one's going to really do that, because at the end of the day, video games, and we're all shiny and we want to play the newest exciting thing, especially as content creators. You can't miss out on the newest, hottest game. So
yeah, a lot of it's opportunities.
We're all kind of locked into that vicious cycle where we need to make that decision not to, but we can't make the decision.
But
you can't and I can't because you're content creators. But someone who is 15 can't, because he then falls out of his...
They don't control the money.
No, he falls out of his peer group. Like, if all of your friends are playing this game and you're not, then you're not friends with them anymore. You're a pariah. So...
Yeah, that's fair. You can fall out real quick as well.
So it's very... It's a difficult thing. I don't know how it can be fixed. The crunch thing, to my eyes, the only way they're going to fix that is by unionizing, and that's something they should have done a long while ago, and hopefully it's something that will be done.
Yeah, and will have any type of impact.
Yeah, because there's no
problem. Is there's a lot of people. The only way you can make that work is if you can get your skilled people on board. Trying to do it with the Q&A temps, that ain't going to work. They'll just get rid of them because everybody wants to be a games tester.
Yeah, because everyone sees that as a route.
Put an advert in a college.
Yeah, everyone sees it as a route into the industry. So it's going to have to be the skilled people. And to be fair, it's not even necessarily the mid-tier skilled people. It's got to be the high-tier skilled people.
It's got to be the daddies,
and they're the ones that are
the people that can lead a
team. The ones who are probably getting paid fairly heavily from the bonuses that come from crunch.
They come from crunch. Yeah,
it's a difficult one, but hopefully they'll pull their stuff together and it'll be fine. But we should talk about things that are more uplifting,
positive,
more amazing, such as The Witcher.
The Witcher is getting a Netflix series. It's getting a Netflix series, and that is awesome. I'm always excited for a video game adaptation, but I always expect it to be terrible.
Always going to be. Expecting it to be terrible.
Always terrible.
Can you think of a good adaptation?
Absolutely not. But I can tell you that Netflix original have been coming out with some good stuff.
Yeah.
They've done some good stuff. And
Henry Cavill's in it.
They've got
and
a
he's
good
pretty
team.
Amazing.
Yeah. And he's big. He's a big guy.
He's a big guy. Right. Yeah. He's huge.
So there's been a couple of points of controversy. It's not based on the games.
It's based on the books.
There's the main one. It's based on the books.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So in the books, The Witcher doesn't like beards or stubble. So he's clean shaven. So in the series, he's clean shaven. He also doesn't carry two swords. He leaves his silver sword on his horse. So the iconic two swords look isn't actually a thing in the series. Certainly not in the opening scenes anyway. From the posters and stuff.
Are we going to see Henry Cavill in the bath?
Doing the famous leg splayed bath scene.
That's all we really want.
If we don't, I'll put a wig on and recreate that. That'll be fine.
That's going to haunt my dream.
I'm sure I can find a tub.
I'm gonna go around the north hiding tubs.
I can find a tub. I live in the north, it'll be fine. We still use them. We warm our bath water by sunlight, it'll be fine.
I am quietly
optimistic, because I think Cavill's a good enough actor to make it a strong character. So as long as the script isn't terrible, and Netflix original scripts haven't been terrible, I think it'll be okay.
I'm
optimistic for it, and I love a fantasy world, especially one I'm familiar with.
I'm not a Witcher fan. I've discussed this on the podcast before. As everyone loves it. I don't get it particularly. But even I'm excited about this, because I think the cast is going to be good. And I say Netflix are pretty strong at the moment with their original content. I can see it's being very good.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. I do. I think it'll be really good. I do. I'm always pessimistic about them, but I want to believe it's going to be good. So I'm in.
It's got to have been a good.
Is there a release date on it yet?
My brain had gone into a. It's got to have been a good movie adaptation of a.
What, like Doom? The only good bit about Doom was the end of it.
I didn't hate it.
What's wrong with you?
There's a lot of video game movies that I know are completely horrible that I kind of like. Resident Evil, the first one, kind of liked it. It's completely away from my franchise.
I watched them because I kind of liked them. But I didn't
anyone
know
past
the
first one was I didn't really love. But the first one, despite the fact it was so far removed from the games, I kind of enjoyed that. But a thing for Michelle Rodriguez, so that probably would be why.
Yeah, I'm kind of in there with you.
I like scary. Street Fighter, the original, amazing.
The original,
you gotta go with Mario. Street Fighter was an amazingly terrible film.
God, it was.
Raul Julia as Bison. Could you imagine a better Bison?
Van Damme as Guile. I mean, you know, that's the thing. Kylie Minogue as Cammy. Big money.
I like that they got everyone in costumes and they did jump.
Fair.
It doesn't take
Witcher
a lot.
Series is due for Q4 2019.
Oh,
so it will be this year.
Damn, it's an 8-episode show.
That's all it kind of needs.
I thought it was going to be a movie. So, 8 episodes.
Well, it technically is just a long one.
Really long one. They're going to be what 45-minute episodes.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. But I can get a popcorn.
It's a good season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, compared to the last two. Because they were bad.
Hey, they weren't that bad. Last one got a little. Last one got a little rocky. All right, I'll give you the last episode.
It was bad. It was just bad. It was just bad. They ruined
it's
my
life.
It's
good to be taken from.
It's a thing. Right, what else have we got today? Switch Lite.
Switch Lite.
They've announced the Switch Lite, and everybody's got their panties in a bunch because they were all fantasizing about a more powerful Switch, and that's not what they've got, which is what Nintendo said from the start, basically.
Yeah, I think we've seen two different angles.
We've got
on this.
Handheld, portable, fixed Switch that you can't remove the Joy-Cons and you can't connect it to your TV.
That's essentially what it is. There's no IR camera, there's no HD rumble, those sort of things. And people are seem to be kicking off a little bit about it being a downgrade rather than an upgrade. But if you want those things, buy the Switch. And if you can't afford those things, then buy the Switch Lite. That's what the Switch Lite's for, is to make it more accessible to those that couldn't chuck out that much money.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo was smart to stick to their portable
Nintendo
roots.
Were never going to upgrade it. It's Nintendo. Their games aren't built on high spec. They're built on the Nintendo
fun
effect.
They're just built on fun, man. They just put out fun games.
I'm not fully sure the new Mario wouldn't have run on the N64.
They don't need high-end graphics. 100%. You know, that's not their sell. I don't need 1080p crisp 4K gaming. No, 4K gaming is a stupid idea. Stop it. You just don't need that in your life. 1080p is absolutely fine.
I agree, because I wear glasses.
It's absolutely fine.
So my eyes are already not HD, so I don't need 4K. I'm not even at 1K.
Yeah, these people come to me, yeah, I've got like a 52-inch TV and I play my PlayStation. And you're like, don't you have to turn your head to see the edges? What is that? It's just, in my mind, that's completely unnecessary. And it becomes a situation where it's more about bragging rights than anything else. And I've always hated that.
We've just had a whole, you've just upgraded your stream setup and so via camera wise. And a lot of people that I know have set up, and I know a lot of people have gone for the 4K stuff in the camera. They've gone for a better spec on the 4K, but they're paying the same amount of money. So they're losing something that they could have used to gain something that they'll run through their PC and lose. Because they're not going to stream in 4K because no one's watching anything in 4K at the moment. So it's absolute bragging rights.
Stream
literally, you're losing to get something in.
It's just bragging rights. And I've never liked bragging rights in games unless it was your high score on the arcade machine. You know what I mean? That was earned and fine. But I have found that gaming has become more money focused as we've come along. And it does come down to, well, I've got this hardware and I've got that hardware. Which was never really what it was about. You know?
Yeah, that's especially with obviously PC gaming. I've got a 1070, I think,
same as me.
But
yeah,
same and as I me. Say that to people and they're like, oh, you only got a 1070. You're like, no, I've got a 1070. That's like, yay, I got a 1070. Yeah, I've only got a 1070.
Perfectly capable of 1080p gaming. I don't need the world. I want a game. I would rather a game that was fun, like genuinely fun to plod around in, than something that's got the latest ray tracing RTX Bumlick 4K. You know what I mean? I'm just not interested.
I do like a little bit of Bumlick 4K though.
I like a little bit of good graphics, right?
Graphics are important to me. But
they are to me. They don't need to be that much. Spend thousands.
It's diminishing returns. So after you get to a certain point, it's so incremental improvements that I'm not personally going to notice it. And I'm sure there's someone out there that can say, "Oh, I noticed this frame was different." And I'm not that guy.
No, I'm the same. I like a good pretty scene where you know, take something like Metro Exodus. Mm-hmm. It has certain bits in it that are utterly beautiful, but the core bits that you play through are just good and crisp. You know, they're nice and clean and crisp when you play through
Destiny.
Them. But then they've obviously over-rendered the... Destiny, when you look out to space.
The whole game is pretty. Yeah. No matter where you are, no matter if you're in a cave or you're outside in the open, that game is pretty.
Yep, they've made it look beautiful. And they've done it without needing a ray tracing 2080 supercomputer that needs to be plugged into your car as well as your house. It's just all a bit much.
It really is.
But while we're on Destiny, they're starting to unvault the old guns. They're bringing back old content.
They've been doing this for a while, for a long while, but they've just brought back the Bad Juju.
The Bad Juju.
Bad Juju, which is a gun that I vaguely remember, but everyone seems to be losing their stuff about.
People love nostalgia.
Yeah.
And nostalgia is big right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing, but it's not been that long. Like they were dropping guns and maps into Destiny 2 from about 4 months in, I think. It wasn't very long before they started unvaulting stuff. And even recently you've had this is been the last couple of days. But you've had the Fawn recently, we've had there's been a bunch of them. Either unvaulted or like the Whisper, which is just a revamp of an original gun. The Forsaken brought the Vestian Dynasty. So they've been doing this for a long while. I don't know how I feel about it.
Do you not think I think it's a really clever way of little quests like that that introduce a nostalgia trip or a particularly invoke a feeling, I think are a really good way of maintaining a player base over time.
Do you not see it as a cheap way of not having to come up with new ideas to just give something old? Just because then people feel like they got new content, but they haven't.
I want the new ideas and the big expansions. I want the free stuff to be stuff that's quite quick and easy for them, but gives me a nostalgia.
The Bad Juju is not free stuff. It's part of the anniversary.
Annual pass,
that's it.
Yeah, but I'm okay with that as well. I don't mind that either. You know, like you were saying, you've got to support the game to a degree. They've already, Shadow keeps coming out a less than premium price, isn't it? I think it's only 20 quid,
I think I saw it as £30, I think it's 30, but it comes with, but it comes with basically everything.
Which
has been one of my bugbears with Destiny all the way along, is that every time a DLC comes out, I have to buy that, which comes with everything. And then the next one comes out and I get that with everything. So I bought the base game about 8 times by the end of the cycle. But hopefully this is the now changing publisher. We'll take that away.
We'll give some more control. I mean, I like the MMO system, which has always existed, where if you buy the previous expansion to the current one, you get all previous content. So you only ever have to really do
there's one. There's no point in gatekeeping out of it. That's not. If you expected like someone to spend £200 off the bat, it's unlikely that they're going to gain any new players. So, yeah.
Exactly. Whereas if you tell me I need to buy a game and then I need to buy a £25 expansion and I'll get, you know, hundreds of hours of content for free that I probably wouldn't have bought otherwise, then yeah, I'll probably do it.
I've spent hundreds on Destiny because I had it. I've got it on PC. I've got Destiny 2 on PC. I've got Destiny 2 on Xbox. I had the first game on PC, on PlayStation and Xbox. So I've pretty much had it everywhere that it can be. But I don't think there's a single game that I've got 10% of the hours that I've got into Destiny. So
well,
for
I
me,
say,
it's
all
worth
about
it.
The time, you know.
My ROI is good.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And one other point with the, you know, with the streaming hours going in, I just want to jump back really quick.
Back.
Pro gamers, when I was playing Counter-Strike professionally, you're doing 16 to 18 hours a day hard practice.
Yeah.
You know, playing pubs, working aims, doing this, doing the other. It seems that the gaming industry from top to bottom is loaded with long hours.
It's a higher input industry. It's a higher workload industry.
It really is.
On every aspect of it.
And I think that because of that, you know, Destiny haven't released bad content per se in anything they've done yet.
I think people would argue with you, but those people would be wrong.
They would, but in my opinion, opinion, I've enjoyed, I mean, I've played through all of Destiny 2, all of Forsaken, and I've done it all with Elisana, my community manager. And
it's a lot to do, and it's all fun.
It was an incredibly fun journey.
Some of their stuff, you know, I really had a good overly time. Grindy, and I think that recently, I don't know that they've done this, but I'm feeling that they've done this because I got a couple of guns that I specifically wasn't getting because it was such a grind that they must have nerfed the quest. Otherwise, I don't see how I would have accidentally done. Like, it was like, get 100 shotgun kills in Crucible. I'm never going to have done that. This is just not the way I play. But it was getting really, really grindy. Especially, do you remember the first one where they did you had to run to get the swords. You had to run around getting the materials out of boxes. But every time you got one, it was like a one in, you had to get like 100 to get one. So you had to keep doing it. It took about 3 hours of constant grinding and of the most boring activity just to get the sword. And then you had to do that 3 times. So they got a little bit that way at one point, but they seem to have moved away from that a bit.
If I'm taking that as a personal content, I'll put a movie on the second monitor and just grind away happily, because that was after I quit any type of pro gaming. That's what I did with all the MMOs.
Yeah, I think I
just had a video on the second screen and you just grind through.
I chucked it onto a remote play onto my laptop. Watch the TV while I did it, but
perfect idea too. You know what I mean?
To play a game should be your focus. A game shouldn't be a secondary activity for me. Playing a video game should be an event into itself. It shouldn't be watching TV, but also background grinding.
Well, and as we're streamers now, it's a different game. You have to think what's entertaining to the viewer, and watching someone grind endlessly
while complaining is not that. That's what I do.
And bitching and moaning about it the whole time. Yeah, it's just terrible.
I can't believe I've been doing this for an hour and a half.
It's a good idea to get that quest to maybe 80%, 90% completed.
Yeah,
and then let the community come along with you for the finale, for the victory, you know, for the moment of I've done it, you know, because then they can understand the scale. If you show them how long it takes you to get 10%, you're like, well, I've done this for the whole quest, you know, then I think that's a good moment shared. But Destiny got so much right. And with cross-save and stuff coming up, they're trying even harder to make it an inclusive system.
They're so maligned for the stuff that they do wrong that people forget about how much stuff they do right and how much that the stuff that
that's true for absolutely every game.
But the amount of stuff that they've done that are now in other games that you don't even notice that they did first, or they at least brought it more to the foreground. The whole idea of it being... because it is MMO-like, Destiny. That's what they were always going for. It wasn't really around before Destiny, was it? You was at MMOs, or you shooters, you didn't really have too much in between.
Yeah, there wasn't much in between. There was a couple that tried it, but it didn't work. They never pulled it off. The closest thing I suppose you would get would be the Borderlands series. That's probably the closest you would get.
Yeah
I think so, because that's the same idea, a looter shooter, isn't it?
But I'm not big into Borderlands, so I don't know, but that's not got that come back every day to get challenges done, come back every week.
It has challenges and stuff in it. It doesn't. No. It's a very quest-driven game, and it has that sort of stuff. It's Destiny is the same thing. Borderlands is the same thing with cartoon graphics.
I assumed at the end of it, you finished the story, and then it ended. Humor.
No, not at all. There's raids and all sorts of stuff.
Literally, this is blowing my mind. I had no idea.
Yeah, there's raids in the end of it, and there's mass encounters that they add, and big bosses, and farming for iridium. All of it exists. All the currency exists. And little side quests that you miss that they add, expansion after expansion after expansion. Incredible amounts of content in Borderlands.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I put hours into it. Well, I'll tell you how many hours I put into it. Let me terrify myself with this. So
with some fence stats.
Borderlands 2 is 200 hours.
Okay, that's a good.
And then the original Borderlands, I think I have 400 or 500 in, but I can't.
Big numbers.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. But because that was upgraded recently to the Game of the Year, you lose all your purchase time. So, but that came out in 2011, Borderlands. But that was in my mind the original looter shooter crossover MMO. And then Destiny just picked it up and made it a bit more grown up. That was the kind of gist.
They added more. You could see other people and influence things with other people. I don't know how Borderlands does raids and stuff. I've never seen anyone else in Borderlands other than me or the few people that I've decided to play with at that time. There's no...
It's got Borderlands 3 I'm excited for. That's my kind of game.
Hopefully that'll be expanded. It should be good. I mean, even I'm excited.
So, right, the last thing we've got for the evening off our plan is you've just very cryptically written G2A chuff up.
Chuff up. Chuff is not
what,
the word
what
I
happened
wrote.
With G2A?
G2A, let me pull this up. G2A apparently wrote an email to a company asking them to basically put out a... Let me read where it says here. They wanted them to put out a article that they had written for themselves. And the quote from the email that I saw was, we have written an unbiased article about how selling stolen keys on gaming marketplaces is pretty much impossible, and we want you to publish it on your website. Without being marketed or sponsored or marked as associated with G2A, it is a transparent and just a review of the problem of the stolen keys reselling. So basically, G2A wrote that they wrote... This is unbiased. Like, this is, it's very much like me saying, I'm going to write an article about my stream. I'm going to tell you why it's amazing and why everyone in the world is stupid for not watching it. But don't tell them I wrote it. And it's unbiased. It's nonsense. It's just.
Wow.
And one of the people that they sent it out to then obviously tweeted the excerpt for it. And this is nonsense. This is fake news. This is just not real. They've just made it up to get Twitter thing. No, G2A.com Twitter account, which is verified, then tweeted back to Faust, who's the guy that showed it, saying, these emails were sent out by our employee without authorization, for which we apologize to some indie games and the nine other media, but they put nine and then in brackets exclamation mark to the nine other media outlets he sent the proposal to. He will face strict consequences, as this is absolutely unacceptable. So they basically went, yep, we did that. Yep. But it was that guy. We let a temp use that email address. He didn't run this through us. Have you ever been on stream?
Oh God.
And someone said to you, Ben, you suck. And you're like, what? Why do I suck? You're like, oh, sorry, my brother typed that. Yeah, they're five and they do it.
Okay.
This is G2A.
Oh my days.
It's a big one.
Yeah, I mean, G2A has been controversy from go. Yeah. Right? All key sites are controversy from go. But trying to improve your image by forcing
to underhandedly write your own articles and then say, please don't tell them that it was us. We don't want you to say we didn't sponsor you to say this. We're not paying you to say this. We're not associated with this.
No hashtag ad, please.
It's so underhanded that if I had made that up, you wouldn't believe me.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think that's...
What do you do with that? It's a level of stupid that you don't often see out there in the world.
Yeah, blaming the old cousin mother for getting your account banned is a bit silly.
The fact that they
put, let's be honest,
a nine exclamation mark over outlets, like they... Well, even G2A were blown away by the amount of people that you said that. You said this to 10 people.
Oh my.
Only one of them have seemed to have called them out on it, though. What happened to the other nine? You got those articles are on their sites.
Well, that's even... They probably just deleted it thinking it was spam mail.
There's no way this is real. There's no way this comes from G2A at Outlook.
That's got to be that's what you do, isn't it? You're like, what is this? What? No, this isn't the thing.
Yeah, that's...
No, I don't...
It's been my highlight of my internet today, is finding that out. And
yeah, that's fair. I would have enjoyed... I mean, I gave everyone my axe.
You've been
today
playing with your axe.
With the Lord of the Rings.
And I have been giggling at G2A. Yep.
G2A doing a mass chuffle.
Yeah, there's a lot of information on there that they gave. It's a real skim of the... But that's the crux of it. That's the key... the key point
the key
is that
points there. Well done, G2A.
You did a smart. But I thought that would be a very good way to end. Yeah, in the stream that someone else is having a bad day. Someone else's stupidity has caused some problems. Now we get to go to sleep and be happy.
Yeah. Because it's time I'm going to bed.
Indeed. You go to bed.
Yeah.
See you then,
I'll
my man.
See you next week.
Bye, guys. Bye.